Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Mario Coleman, and I am the CEO of NCWCC. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to NCWCC Digital Online Radio Broadcast Network and NCWCC Chicago Talk Radio. We change lives.
We change lives.
This is NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. This is September 19th, 2012. I'm your host, Patricia Hunt, broadcasting live from Portland, Oregon. Our executive producer, Karima Ali, is joining me today. Hello, Karima.
Hi, Patricia. How are you doing? Thank you.
I'm doing well. We are interviewing the Honorable Steen Miles. She's a three-time Emmy Award-winning news reporter, news anchor with 30 years' experience in television news. She's a former Georgia state senator who served East DeKalb and Brockdale counties. A minister herself, she joined ministers from all over the country this week in a conference call with none other than the President of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama. I give you a special welcome to my friend and former colleague, Steen Miles. Hello, Steen.
Hello, Patricia, and what an honor it is to be with you once again, anchor reporter.
We can't lay it down, can we?
No, you know, once you start picking up and riding that bike again, it's just hard to let it go.
I understand. Well, Steen, I know you've interviewed all kinds of people in your long career, very distinguished career. But I want to ask you this. What did you feel as you were talking on that call with Mr. Barack Obama?
You know, you've always been just the quintessential interviewer, and feelings are so very important. I have been blessed, Patricia, as you know, to have been invited to the White House on two occasions, in 1979 by then President Carter, and then again in 89 by President H. Bush. George H. Bush. And
yes.
Oh gosh, what an honor that was. And I was the first time in Chicago, and I teared up because, you know, my parents weren't alive to see me going to the White House. What an honor. What a tremendous honor. And so, but to be online with Barack Obama, the African-American president of these United States of America, was spine tingling. And so inspirational. And to hear this man pour forth his soul, actually, about the needs of this country and where he stands on the issues. And then finally to ask ministers who ministers and other lay people from around this country to pray for him and for his wife, Michelle, our First Lady, and for Sasha and Malia, I can never say it straight, was just it was just a very, very, very special moment. And then, of course, the venerable Dr. Joseph Lowery from here in Atlanta spoke for all of us so eloquently as he pledged to the president the support, his support, and the support of others of us on the line. It was a very, very special, moving moment for me.
I bet it was. I bet it was. Tell me some of the issues that he talked about, Steen. What does he see as the most important issues? Can you run down a few of them for me?
Sure. Most importantly to not only the president, but to most people in the country is the economy and jobs creations. And his wanting to continue the progress that has been made, particularly, for instance, the restoration of jobs in the auto industry, which spawned a number of cottage industry jobs so that millions of people have gone back to work. And while the employment figures were rather disappointing, a number of factors that were not taken into account, for instance, the numbers of people who have gone back to work, the numbers of people who have stopped looking, those kinds of figures had to be meshed as well. Another major concern is education, renewable energy, so that we are not so dependent on foreign oil. But back to education, so critical that our young people are prepared for the kinds of new industries and new jobs that are going to be available. Part of the problem in the country today of people not being able to be gainfully employed is because the kind of really technical jobs that are out there, people are not prepared for them. So the importance of making certain that our young people are prepared for the new technology that is facing us in the country and in the world. The importance of Patricia, he spoke on jobs creation and education and also immigration is another critical issue. My mind is escaping me right now, but the two key issues were jobs creation, education, immigration, making certain that that we are safe and secure as a nation, and making certain that our men and women in the military are brought home and brought home safely.
Yes, yes, and he's already, well, he did what he said he was going to do. He ended the war in Iraq.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
That was a promise kept.
Absolutely, it was a promise kept. And a major faux pas during the conventions, and I know that you watched both of them, the conventions, Republican and Democratic conventions, were a tale of two cities, actually. One was exclusive, the other was inclusive, for instance. But the major faux pas on the part of the Republicans and their candidate, Mitt Romney, was to not even mention our men and women in the armed forces. And when called on it, he simply very cavalierly said that it was just, you know, there was a laundry list of things that he had to deal with, and that he just couldn't get around to everything on the quote-unquote laundry list. Essentially relegating our brave men and women to a laundry list. That was a horrible choice of words, but out of the mouth, the heart does indeed speak.
That's very interesting. You know, I look at Mr. Romney, and he is obviously a very accomplished man in his own right.
Yes.
But this campaigning thing is a horse of another color. He's been very successful in business. He's been very successful in turning around the Olympics back in Utah in the Winter Olympics there. And but this animal of running for president is not for the faint-hearted. And I give both the candidates the fact that they are human, and they're going to misspeak, and they're going to misstep. And we see that this has happened considerably with Mr. Romney recently. But I noted something, Steen. I watched President Barack Obama on David Letterman last night. David Letterman asked him to comment on the latest snafu by Mr. Romney, talking about there are 47% of the population that he is never going to reach, that he is never, who's never going to support him, who he has basically written them off, is what he said, and he used those exact words. And I have to say, I was very impressed that Barack Obama did not seize the opportunity in that one-hour interview with David Letterman to pounce on Mitt Romney for his misspeaking. And it gave me a ray of hope that one day, possibly, Republicans and Democrats can somehow work together. Did Mr. Barack Obama say anything about that possibility?
Absolutely, absolutely. And what he said was, and what he continues to say, is that we have to work together in this country to move forward, that he has tried desperately to partner with the Republicans. What he understands and what any good politician understands is that you have to work across the aisles, that you have to work with both parties, that you have to work with all concerned to move the ball downfield. And that is a major concern of his. He has tried. But the thing about President Barack that is so inspiring to me, having been in politics, is that he always takes the high road. He will always preface any remarks that he makes by saying, for instance, Mitt Romney is a fine man. Mitt Romney is a good family man and a decent human being. But at the close of the day, Mitt Romney just doesn't get it, just doesn't get it. But the importance of working together certainly is something that the president addressed, and the need to do that, and certainly the need to make people understand the importance, however you vote, to get out there and vote. Patricia, too many people have shed their blood, particularly in this region of the country, for people to have the right to vote. People have been persecuted. Women have been persecuted for the right to vote. And for us not to exercise what I believe is a sacred right is really almost sacrilege, because of the toll that has been taken in this nation for people to have the right to vote. So for people to stay at home because of a wedge issue, one issue, there are
Let's talk about that wedge issue for just a moment, Steen. The wedge issue you're referring to happens to be the fact that Mr. Obama recently came out supporting the right of gay marriage. The privilege of gay people to be able to marry the person of their choice, even if it's the same-sex person.
Absolutely.
That has caused a number of black ministers around the country to encourage their parishioners not to come out and vote, not to vote for Mr. Barack Obama. But the thing that bothers me about that is just one issue.
Exactly.
There are myriads of issues that the President of the United States addresses. He's the president of the whole country.
Absolutely.
And this is an enormous country. To not vote or not vote for someone on based on that one issue, to me, is a bit short-sighted, is it?
Not just short-sighted, but I think it's patently irresponsible for persons in leadership, particularly persons in leadership who have been kissed by the sun, to encourage their congregants and to encourage people to stay at home and not vote. It's irresponsible, it's ill-informed, and I quite frankly, I think reprehensible to make those kinds of statements, again, on one issue. What is the response then, I would ask some of the clergy, to the comment made by Mitt Romney that 47% of the people he's not even concerned about, that 47% of the people don't pay taxes, that 47% of the people in these United States of America only want a handout, only want someone to feed them and to give them housing and to give them health care. And nothing could be further from the truth. People want to work. And as soon as a job is available, there are hundreds of people. Here in Atlanta, we've had job fairs where thousands of people have shown up, resumes in hand, ready to go to work. Obviously, the organization that you're representing, the National Coalition of Women of Color in the Construction Trades, if this country gets back on its feet economically and building starts again, not just with home building, which is seeing a slight blip on the radar screen, but all types of building. This is work for families. This is work for people who want to work. And to make a statement that 47% of the people, that you just write them off. The president says that he works for all of the people of the United States. And again, for our clergy to encourage people not to vote is just patently irresponsible in my view.
Steen, look at this issue. You mentioned that the president is talking about training people for jobs, new jobs that are coming in. I believe there's something like 3 million jobs out there right now that people could assume in America, but they're not trained for those jobs. I want you to address what exactly is the president talking about doing to get those people trained for those specialized jobs.
Well, one of the things that has to be done is to end the discrimination against minority and women-owned firms. That's one step. The other part of the training is the partnerships with schools, where we are beginning to understand that we have to teach to the hand as well as to the head. And so those are programs and projects that we will hear more of. But the fact of the matter is making certain that young people are able to get education and get education grants so that they aren't saddled with astronomical debt, education debt. Many people, including my own children, and I don't know about yours, Patricia, but you know, for half of their adult life, they're saddled with debt from college loans.
Enormous.
Those are the kinds of issues that the president is talking about, in addition to the kind of training that needs to be had. That training cannot be had in our schools, even if there is a partnership, if our children are not able to access higher education and get the kind of technical skills that they need. So that's very, very critical. The other side, the Republicans, unfortunately, are saying, if you can't afford to go to college, then too bad. Well, what is that doing to move the country forward economically and economic development and making certain that people have the skills necessary to fill those jobs? We cannot keep doing what's been done, which is to ship jobs overseas. The other thing that the president has been doing is giving tax credits for those companies that hire veterans, that hire women, that train young people in these technical jobs. That is something that the Republicans absolutely would not do. And so it's really, really critical that you look at the two platforms. Unfortunately, there has not been any specificity with the Republican platform. There has been a lot of bashing of the president, which has been their agenda from the beginning, from the first day he took office. But there's been no really salient agenda from the Republicans about how they would increase jobs. Mitt Romney says 12 million jobs that he's going to create. How are you going to create them? Are you going to ask your cronies to bring those jobs that have been shipped off to foreign shores back to the United States? No.
That would be nice.
It would be nice, and it would be a wonderful beginning, and that is what the president is talking about doing. You know,
But those jobs are jobs are contracted already, and those contracts are etched in stone.
Nothing is etched in stone.
Really? Really?
Nothing is etched in stone. Most things.
Let me intercede with that. I want to. This is Karima. I want to welcome our CEO and founder of NCWCC, Maggie Freeman, to the call. Ms. Freeman, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. I really enjoyed the conversation of what's happening. I just have one question for you. I've got a couple of callers that's on hold as well. When you talk about jobs in this country and training, The world has went into a green technology. The rest of the world has started is actually engaged in the type of green technology that the United States is so far behind, especially here in the South. The training that we're talking about is, you know, there's traditional training that is obsolete, and then there's the training that the NCWCC does, which is a green technology applied science, construction training, integrated information technology training. We firsthand have, you know, supplied for the last 4 years free training for a tier one area here in the region to get people optimized into a knowledge of the green economy that's coming forward. Was that discussed on that call?
Not at length, no, not at length. It was mentioned, but it was not discussed at length.
Okay. And I think that's a terrible incident because those are the jobs that are created. Those are the type of jobs that you can't send overseas. Building houses, yes, but in terms of green technology, energy efficiency, energy auditing, things that require people to actually do that in person are the type of jobs that I believe that are available. I know that they're available when you talk about educating and tying into the education system. And so that's one of our concerns in terms of what type of jobs. You have to educate, as you said, the hand and the hand and the heart.
Absolutely. And please don't misunderstand, by virtue of the fact that he did not discuss it at length, it is certainly already a matter of platform. It is already a matter of how the president wants to move forward to increase the training for young people with these with green technology. There have already been overtures, particularly here in DeKalb County where I reside, with a couple of the technical schools. So this is happening. He wants to continue in that direction, implementing these innovative programs to even green campuses and curriculum. Green technology is very much a part of the president's passion and platform. It's just that he did not go into it at length in the call.
All right, thank you.
Steve, Karima, we're going to pause for just a moment for a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment, okay? All right, welcome back to the call, ladies. Steen, I want to look at an issue that Mitt Romney has raised considerably. It was part of the issue that he raised just a few days ago. He talked about the 47% that he has written off.
Mm-hmm.
In that, he talked about a large percentage of those people feel that they are entitled to something, entitled to this, entitled to that, and just entitled. And I personally took offense to that because I don't feel entitled to anything. Do you know very many people who you know, who you really know feel entitlement?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The word itself conjures up images of someone like Mitt Romney, who believes that they are due, are owed something without having put forth any effort for it. I am now collecting Social Security. I paid handsomely into the system. I am now getting Medicare. I paid handsomely into the system. I do not believe it is an entitlement. I believe that is something that I absolutely paid for and that I earned and that I would like to see around for several more years. What Mr. Romney, I think, to his credit or in his defense, not credit, but was what he was trying to say is that he essentially had written off 47% of the American people. Because these are people that are going to vote for President Obama with blinders on. And these, as he described these individuals, he described people who are dependent on government and who want someone, as you said, to give it to them, that they're waiting for a handout. It is not 47% of the people pay no income tax. That is absolutely true if you want to fact check it. But it's because these people are working people and they have tax credits. And these are tax credits, mind you, that Mr. Romney and Republicans would do away with, such as the interest that we pay on our mortgages. That is something that they would do away with. Now, they don't want to tell you that, but they would further tax middle-income people. That 47% of us, middle-income people, would have to bear the brunt of the 1% of the super wealthy and those, unfortunately, who are considered, by the statistics, poor. But to say that you are entitled or that you don't want to work, or he's talking mainly about senior citizens. He's talking about veterans. He's talking about people who have paid their fair share and find themselves in a place where they can no longer do it. Is that an entitlement? No. It is a safety net that was put in place to make certain that people do not fall through the cracks. But to disparage people who have paid handsomely into the system as if we're some sort of freeloader is just irresponsible on his part. And his defense is that he perhaps did not use the most elegant of terms. The right thing to do and the thing to me that would be speak of his character would be to certainly apologize to the American people, I believe that he owes the American people an apology. But cowardice rarely apologizes. They simply hide behind fancy words, point the finger, lest one really understands how weak they are.
Mitt Romney is not one to apologize. He
no.
He has said that. He has on numerous occasions accused Mr. Obama of apologizing internationally.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with apologizing when you feel that you are wrong or that you have wronged someone. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That, to
yes.
me, is a wonderful character trait.
Well, Steen, it's been wonderful talking with you, and we appreciate your coming on. And is there anything that I have not asked you that you would like to say at this time? You have maybe 1 minute.
Sure. And that is to do two things that the president asked of us. One is to pray for him and for the first family, and to pray for this nation of ours. And the second thing is to make certain that we go and vote. And I have taken it upon myself. I have a personal mantra that's called each strive for five. Get five people that you know, that you work with, that you come in contact with. Make certain that they are registered to vote, and make certain that you remind them to go and vote. Registration, I think, ends in most places October the 9th for the November election. And it's important for women who have remarried or married, have a name change, make certain that you check with your voter registration local office to make certain that you are still registered, because voter suppression is very real around the country. It's happening through the driver's license agencies around the country. Double check. If you renewed your license recently, double check to make certain that you are still on the voter rolls, because
all right.
They are purging, and voter suppression is very real. So pray for our nation and the president, and go vote.
Thank you, Steen Miles. We appreciate it.
Thank
Have
you,
a good day.
Patricia.
Coleman, and I am the CEO of NCWCC. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to NCWCC Digital Online Radio Broadcast Network and NCWCC Chicago Talk Radio. We change lives.